If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, May 10th, 2023. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr. Joining me is WWE superstar Greg Miller.
Hello, Blessing Adeoye Jr. And I should say part of the GQ panel of video game experts, Woo! Blessing Adeoye Jr.
What's up, Greg?
Not much, man. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I was very excited to see that article finally go up. For those who don't know what Greg's talking about, months and months ago, GQ hit me up and like a list of journalists, developers, people in the media, and asked them for input on their top 100 games list. That list is up right now on the GQ website. And Greg, I was very surprised not to see your name included. I was for sure like, Greg is going to be on this. I'm sure Tim's going to be on this. And there was no Greg and Tim there, but it was me, Andy, and Janet, I believe, were part
Paris.
Of it.
Paris. Well, Janet probably is as well, but people who were cited as kind of funny were you three, Andy, Blessing, and Paris. And, you know, I think it's honestly when you are not afraid to say the hard truths and talk about Avengers and stuff like that, usually that means that they are like, you know what, old man, it might be time for you to step aside. What I really appreciate about it was last night I tweeted something. Paris Lily tried to dunk on me. I came back as I do tenfold and just nuclear destroyed his entire world. And what I appreciated was about, and this is one that I'll let you guys in on it. All right, we're going to go behind the curtain. I'm pulling the curtain back. I'm pulling the curtain back. It was a whole chat GPT thing, right? And what I did is in it, I purposely misspelled Paris's last name, expecting him to say, "You misspelled my last name." And then I was going to respond, "Well, you misspell your first name." So I was just trying to make it right. And he didn't bite. Nobody bit on the fact that I misspelled Paris's last name. But what really cracks my shit up is that GQ has an even different spelling for Paris's last name in this.
Wait, how's the GQ? Or how they spell Paris Lily?
I believe, I don't have it in front of me right now. I think it was L-I-L-E-Y. L-L.
Oh, Jesus.
It's either L-I-L-L-E-Y. They put an E-Y on it.
In the email, they ask you, how do you want to be credited? So there's a chance that maybe just Paris just mistypes one, press enter, and put that in there. Have you gotten a chance to actually check? Well, first of all, going to your tweet thing, I saw the original tweet that you put up about Andy with the ChatGPT thing.
Sure.
I clicked the show more button, and I went, oh,
no,
man.
No.
Good for you, I guess, or I'm sorry that happened. I don't know. I'm not reading all that. Yeah, that was my immediate response to this, and so... Yeah, good on you for that. But also,
you want to know how this happened? You want to know how this happened?
Sure, hit me with it.
I'm giving Ben a bath, and I'm like, I'm bored. Let's make fun of Andy. And I got him, y'all. We got a little chap GP out there. He's doing his thing.
I love the having premise. This intimate moment with your son, you know, like taking care of him.
He's got
him
it
up.
Covered. He's pouring water.
On your mind
is
like, how am I going to dunk on Andy tonight?
I love that the premise was, how do you stop Andy's stream? And at no point in the story does the Twitch stream ever actually stop.
You just probably know, chat GPT.
So Barrett read the whole thing, is what I'm hearing.
Oh, yeah. I read the whole thing.
Chat over here, chat GPT, right? Its whole thing is it's still trying to play like it can't kill us. And so when you say something specific like that, it's like, oh, I can't do that, Dave. I can't do that. So you have to then rephrase your question.
I can't do that, Greg.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you seen the Snapchat has this new AI feature where you can just talk to this person who is your AI.
Snapchat?
And there was a tweet that was going around about how this one person was having a conversation with their Snapchat AI. And they're like, hey, do you know where I live? And the Snapchat AI is like, no. I was like, do you know my location? No, I'm not allowed to have that information. Are you sure you don't know my location? No, I am not allowed to have that information. And they kept asking them in different ways. Do you know where I'm at? Do you know my location? Do you know where I live? Yada, yada, yada. And the whole time the AI, the Snapchat AI is like, no, I do not have the information. And then the person was like, where's the nearest McDonald's to me? And the Snapchat AI is like, oh yeah, if you go here, take a left. Like the McDonald's is right there. And it's like, what the fuck is happening?
Maybe it's like a vampire. Maybe it's like a vampire. You know, you have to invite it in. Once you invite it in to do the McDonald's business, you're all set.
Oh, so you think like somewhere in that was the automated Oh yeah, now you're giving me permission for your
I'm on a ChatGPT tear right now, all right? Because the whole thing is that, you know, Jen and I are talking about a summer vacation with Benny and like what do we want to do, but he's too young and da da da. And so I asked it the other day to plan a couple trips. Like what would you do, ChatGPT, with a GPT? What would you do? What would you do with an 18-month-old in, you know, fucking Napa? Mm-hmm. Mexico. I don't know.
Mexico.
We are desperate. We're just like, what do you want to do? You know, we're doing the high end, we're doing the low end. What do you actually want to end up doing with this kid during the summer, you know?
Mm-hmm. Did it have any good answers?
We've settled on Lake Tahoe. We're just going to do simple Lake Tahoe.
Oh, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. That sounds like
so
a
then,
fun
of
time.
Course, I slacked my other AI, Mike. And I'm like, Mike, plan this trip for me. what do I fucking do in Lake Tahoe?
Is that what it is? Is Mike just living AI?
Pretty much. Okay. He's learning every day. He's getting better.
Now, have you gotten to check out the GQ article for the top 100 games?
No, I have not. Because since I wasn't, you know, referenced, I know that it doesn't matter. Mm.
I've been enjoying seeing people share their top tens that all submitted, which seems to be everybody in the industry except for Greg Miller somehow. Big-timing GQ. I thought you just didn't answer the email.
You are welcome to dunk on me as much as you want for it. I'll take it. Don't get me wrong, but I'm honestly super happy they didn't. Right? Like, how many fucking times does anybody need to hear about me talk about games? I love the fact you look at that list. And there's a whole bunch of people I don't even know on there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you know, it's we're always talking about. Making rooms and up and comers and all that jazz. And you're out there representing the Kind of Funny brand, you know? That's the goal, Blessing, is for you guys to do all the work, for me to do way less.
So you can go to Napa and
I just sit there. I just sit there and talk to fucking ChatGPT all day, you know?
All right, fair enough. I think we might cover that somehow. We might make that a shit list. We might make that something. Mm. I'll figure that out. This is a long episode.
You have to. Yeah, yeah.
But for now, this is not the shit list. This is Kind of Funny Games Daily. So let's talk about today's stories, which include Hollow Knight Silksong's been delayed, Game Freak's working on a samurai game, and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and a weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. One thing I did not mention is that we are working from home today. And so if we sound different, we look different, there's maintenance going on in the studio. We'll be back tomorrow, I believe, unless Kevin blows the whole thing up.
Look at that. No Jeff Keighley on this either, huh?
Oh, on the top 100 games thing. I feel like he's more of a personality. You know, he's more Schneider. Of a more of a host. Is Per Schneider on there?
He said no Per Schneider.
No Per Schneider. Yeah, maybe they are getting rid of the old guard. Maybe they're like, all right, enough of these old.
They should. Guys. What are we? We've been around forever. Oh, there's Chance Garcia, Pen to Pixels. Yeah.
Tired of having all the Pac-Mans and the
let's throw out the institutional knowledge. Tell me more about SpongeBob, kids.
Some new blood in here. Maybe this way we can get SpongeBob out of the bottom on the list. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, head to kindoffunny.com/KFGD to get your questions read on the show. Remember, you can use Epic Creator Code Kinda Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. And remember, patreon.com/kindoffunny will get you the show ad-free plus a bevy of bonus content. What name did you see?
My apologies to Sam White, who did email me twice about this.
I knew it. I was like, there's no way this did not reach out to Greg Miller.
Wow, Greg.
I never saw it. Check your damn email. Dude, GQ is in your email and you're just ignoring it.
Oops. GQ. You did it for me. You did it for me.
Me and Andy are just holding down the fort. I bet they hit up Mike, too. They probably hit up Mike and Tim.
They hit up Mike. Mike will email them back in a year.
Oh, okay.
Well, what's up? What's the new update now?
No, I'm just looking at the timeline. I don't know why I would have missed this. It was a rough time for Greg Miller and the Miller family at this point.
Actually, you know what? That lines up. Yep, that does line up and why you wouldn't probably respond to that. Housekeeping for you. A new Kind of Funny, a new kind of feudie poll is up on Twitter right now. It is on twitter.com/blessingjr. You can fill out the questionnaire to help determine the answers on a future episode of Kind of Feudie. Of course, we're on a new season of Kind of Feudie as the season finale for the current season of Kind of Feudie went up. This morning?
No.
I think? No, it's going up later today.
No, it's later this week.
Yeah.
It's going up this week. I talked to Cool Greg. It sounded like it was going up like...
Oh, we're confusing it with Remember Blank.
Yeah. Yes.
There's the problem.
Yeah. So Kind of Feudie, I believe, is going up later today. You should have it by tomorrow. And it is the season finale. And it is a must-watch/listen episode. So go to Patreon. Check that out. Have a good time. And then our Horizon Forbidden Shores, Horizon Forbidden West Burning Shores spoiler cast is up right now on PS I Love You XOXO. That's, of course, on YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames. And then only on YouTube in the live stream, there's going to be a 30-minute post show right here where Snowbike Mike comes in to talk to us. KHD hosts about your Super Chat questions. Stay tuned after today's handshake, which will be a virtual handshake today, to hang out with us before the next Kind of Funny stream starts. And then over on Patreon, it says Remember Blank. Is that true? Are there new Remember Blanks?
There's a new Remember Blank coming up this week, yes.
Okay, cool. There's a new Remember Blank coming up this week. Sick. And there's a new Kind of Funny available later today. Thank you to our Patreon
producer. Don't ask any fucking questions, all right?
I'm just reading the housekeeping from the doc, and it just doesn't seem correct. I don't think I wrote that. Maybe I did write that. I don't know.
Thank Who else would have wrote it?
I don't know why I would have written that. But thank you to our Patreon producer, Delaney Twining. Today, we're brought to you by Shady Rays, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is, and forever will be, the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have six stories today.
A Baker's Dozen.
Maybe I did write that, and I was thinking about the fact that we recorded it yesterday, so usually it would have been up by today, but I guess it's just going to be up later this week. I guess that's the thing. Stay tuned for Remember Link.
Patreon.com/kindoffunny. We're pumping content out each and every day, exclusively.
More content than we can keep up with, honestly.
Very true.
Story number one. Hollow Knight Silksong has been delayed. This comes from Jay Peters at The Verge. We'll be waiting a little longer for Hollow Knight Silksong. The years in the making sequel to the excellent Hollow Knight was supposed to release within 12 months of the 2022 Xbox June showcase, but a representative for the game said Tuesday evening that the title will be missing that release window. Quote, "We had planned to release in the first half of 2023, but the development is still continuing," Matthew Griffin, who works on marketing and publishing for the game, posted on Twitter. Quote, "We're excited by how the game is shaping up and has gotten quite big, so we want to take the time to make the game as good as we can. Expect more details from us once we get closer to release," end quote. Moment of silence for the Hollow Knight fans out there.
For Andy Cortez's
of the world.
Aren't they used to it at this point? Every Nintendo Direct, every anything now, it's leaked into Xbox, it's everywhere. Game Awards, you name it, people are like, oh, this will be the one. Hollow Knight 6, Silksong, we're going to see it. It's going to be a day and date release. It'll happen right now. What about this? What about that? Blah, blah, blah. I feel like people have been waiting so long on this one that, yeah, don't get me wrong, you're always allowed to feel your emotions. But you got to be like, you know what? I've come this far. And just make this game as good as possible. The real question is, can it live up to the hype?
I hope so. That's the tough thing, especially when you're talking about a beloved indie game. Like, it's not necessarily a AAA, oh man, let's make another super polished big AAA thing, right? You're talking about something that was this special moment for a group of fans that, you know, loved coming into this game for the combat, the exploration, the Metroidvania aspects, all that stuff. Is making another one of those going to be up to stuff for the fan base? Based on the talent of Team Cherry, you would think so, but
yeah.
It's always that weird time and place thing. Like, I've been thinking a lot about Undertale recently. part of it is the top 10 list that I just put out, but like, you know, Undertale is one of my favorite games, and Toby Fox, the developer, has been switching things up for how he's been following up on Undertale. He's been putting out Deltarune in chapters, and going into that, like, I really enjoy Deltarune. I think there's so many special elements of it, but I keep thinking of the fact that I don't know if it's hitting the same way that Undertale is hitting for me. Like, Undertale's in my top 10. Deltarune, I don't know if I'm putting up there, at least yet. Maybe when it's all finished, it ends up there. But it's just that weird thing of, you know, hype builds and builds, and it's so hard to live up to when your first thing was so like, oh, damn, this hit everything that it needed to at the right moment. It's tough.
Yeah, I feel that's the hardest thing about anybody coming out, and I'm not familiar enough with the developer to totally nail this, but stick with me in the analogy, right? You talk about the sophomore slump, where I think the first game you are going to get, and I assume it was their first game, Hollow Knight, but I could, again, correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah, thank you. But you figure Hollow Knight comes out of nowhere, right, and wins hearts and minds, right, and becomes so many people's favorite game, and they love this, they love that. Very much like what you're talking about with Undertale, right, where when something comes out of nowhere and you have no expectations or lowered expectations for it, I think it's easier for that to get over and become something super special to you. Whereas when you then are waiting for the second one, right? When you're waiting for that follow-up, when you're waiting for something that's going to be the number two, even if it's not a sequelized number two, right? It becomes so hard because you are expecting greatness, right? And that's what we always talk about that so much with God of War, Horizon, Zelda, you name it, right? Of like, well, there's expectations on this, Starfield even, right? But for an indie dev, I think that's so much harder to wrestle with. Because like what you're seeing here, you're a smaller team and the scope gets bigger and this keeps changing and it just dominoes out to where it's so tough to have it done.
Yeah, and I think it makes the development of the second game so different from the development of the first game. Like looking at through what I can find on their website and on their Steam developer page, Hollow Knight looks to be their first game. And so when you're making that and it is, you're solid off. I don't know if they started development off of Kickstarter or if that was a public thing, but there are so much lower expectations where you're coming in and you're just like, hey, we're making this Metroidvania that is taking influences from these other games that means a lot to us. Like, we're working on this thing. And then it comes out and it explodes in terms of reception and fans being into it. And, you know, people now anticipating your next game. And it kind of puts you on this timer of, oh man, people know that we're making this thing. Like, we announced it as a DLC. It got so big that we're spinning it off into its own game. And now people's eyes are on us. And so this has to come out at some point, and we have to be more communicative to the audience about where our timeline is at with this thing. And a year ago, when you showed up in the Xbox June showcase, you were confident in the idea of, oh yeah, a year from now, we can make that happen. Like, we're sure, far enough into this thing where we can put it out a year from now. And then you get there and it's, oh no, like, this keeps growing. Like, we keep wanting to make this thing more than it is, more than it is at its current state. What does that do in terms of feeling that urgency of the audience breathing down your neck, wanting to play the thing? Like, I can't imagine trying to live up to that. But I think good on them for being clear and having the courtesy 100%. To be like, hey, this is where we're at. The game is getting bigger. We're going to delay this. Them not following up and saying that it's even coming out in 2023. Like, right now, my expectations are, hopefully we see this by the end of 2023. Maybe it drifts into 2024. We really don't know at this point. But I think them coming out and being like, hey, vague, it's not going to come out in the first half of this year. You know, we're still working on it. Stay tuned is the best way to go about it. And I think even the Hollow Knight fan base, now that we've gotten this far into the year, I don't think anybody was expecting this to hit the first half of the year. And so I don't know if this one is actually a bit a huge bummer to a lot of those folks that have been waiting for this game.
When we're excited about how the game is shaping up and it's gotten quite big, so we want to take the time to make the game as good as we can. Expect more details from us when we get close. Once we get closer to release, that is 2024. That isn't this year. That's not second half of this year. Yeah,
I have it on my fantasy draft.
You fucked
it. It was my number one pick on my fantasy draft, and so I'm holding out hope. Ooh-wee. For November. Team
Cherry. How depressing was it when you sent that Slack? You're like, why did none of us counter pick Redfall? I was like, yes, I am.
And let me tell you, I thought I was being smart, because earlier in the month, I picked the last case of Benedict Fox.
Yeah.
Because previews had just come out, and I talked to Snowmike Mike. And Mike might have been sabotaging me. This might have been like a three-dimensional chess type move from Mike.
He's not playing that game. He's not playing that game.
Yeah, but like he was more tuned into the previews than I was. So I was like, hey, Mike, like, what's the expectation for Last Case of Benedict Fox? Is it going to be good? And Mike's like, yeah, people are enjoying it. Yeah, it's Metroidvania. It seems good. Yeah, it seems like it's going to hit. And so I picked it up for my thing because I knew people were excited for it. And then, yeah, I checked the other day, and Last Case is at a 68 on OpenCritic. And so I've lost 2 points on Last Case of Benedict Fox. I could have kept that space open. There's so many other games that I could have gotten the 80 OpenCritic with, I'm pretty sure. And now, like, Janet is just breathing down my neck with this thing. I think she's currently in the lead, but she's the only person I see as my competition.
I think she's also got the most games on there. And don't look past Ecto-1 Games, buddy. We're having quite the time down
Ecto-1
here, right?
Well, show me Ecto-1
Games. We have also three games out, a 17, 11, and an 8.
Really quick, Janet's not breathing down your neck. Like, you're maybe close to breathing down her neck, you know?
Yeah, well, she has more games that are out. And so, I'm just thinking about the idea of, you know, by the time we get there, by the time all our games are scored, I think we're going to be the closest ones here.
Damn, Greg has Diablo, Street Fighter, and Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, which probably won't come out this year.
But he also has Elden Ring, Shadow of the Erdtree. That is not coming out this year. He has...
Well, that's a zero then, so that's still better than your -2, you idiot.
Aren't you still on the same team?
That's true. Like, listen.
You know, there's only one trophy, though. There's only one trophy.
I love the Thirsty Suitors team. Right? They're like the folks that did the Falcon Eagle Age. Game. Falcon Age, that's what it was. I was Falcon. Eagle Flight.
Eagle Age.
They did Falcon Age. I think they're cool. That's like a cool, like, weird, kind of unique type of indie game. How's that gonna do in the OpenCritic? Who knows?
Why? You're talking shit about Eka.
I am talking shit about Eka.
Indie darling, Eka. You're saying
prove me wrong, Eka. That's a game with what? It's like a narrative game with skateboarding aspects. It's like all my types of shit. But Hollow Knight Silksong is gonna be a fucking Metroidvania, and that's it. And like people are gonna love it for it. And so we'll see how that. Are you calling Eka right now? Is that what you're doing? This phone is ringing.
Hello?
Eka, it's Greg Miller. You're live on Kinda Funny Games Daily. How are you?
Okay. How you doing?
Good, man. I just wanted to thank you. Of course, you've been such a great supporter of Kinda Funny. You know, you've always been in our corner. You've always been there cheering us on. And I like to think we've always returned that favor to you. But I just wanted to call you and tell you, do not watch Kinda Funny Games Daily today. All right?
Because no.
Blessing is just saying things that I don't agree with. You know that I can't wait for Thirsty Suitors. I think it's going to do great on the reviews.
I'm looking forward.
Now, Blessing's trying to talk right now. He forgets, of course, that, you know, you can't hear him. So he might say, oh, he said, I'm looking forward to it, but I'm worried about the open critic.
I'm just saying, are the critics going to agree?
We're running the trailer right now. It looks amazing, Eka. Is this game amazing?
It's amazing.
Thank you.
I'm actually right in the middle of a VO session.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll let you go do that. I'm fine. If you want to, this might be a good time to write into GQ and say, I really question some of your experts on the top 100 list they just put out. Because, I mean, if Blessing's here saying this kind of stuff.
You know, I don't really give a shit about what people say.
Yeah,
Blessing. We know we're doing a good thing.
Excellent.
And we hope people like it. So.
Well, we can't wait. Do you want to? When's it coming out? What platform is it on? What's going on?
It's on every platform.
Uh-huh.
It's coming out later this year.
All right, great. Can't wait.
Yeah.
All right, bye.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Fair enough.
God, just insulting people out here, you know, Blessing?
Listen, I'm looking forward to the Thirsty Suitors. All I'm saying is that, like, listen, Zelda's
just say what
out,
you want to say. You're Diablo trying to say all video game reviews out. Are racist. That's what you're trying to say.
Wait, what? Oh, my God, not the R word. not that one. Oh, God. But yeah, good luck to all the Hollow Knight fans out there. Story number two, Game Freak is teaming up with Private Division for an ambitious samurai game. This is Kat Bailey at IGN. Game Freak, the studio best known for Pokemon, is partnering with Private Division in what appears to be its first major foray into the AAA action-adventure space. Private Division announced that it is working with Game Freak on Project Bloom, an ambitious new action-adventure game. In a statement, Game Freak director Kota Furushima said that fans can expect something very different from its usual monster collecting affair. Quote, "We're thrilled to have the opportunity to create new IP that is bold and totally different from our prior work," Furushima said. From the beginning, Private Division was the publisher we wanted to work with on our new game. Their track record and global expertise gives us all the confidence to create a sweeping new action-adventure game that we can't wait to share more about in the future, end quote. Private Division head Michael Warros added that the publisher is honored to be the first Western publisher to be working with Game Freak. Along with the announcement, Game Freak and Private Division included the new project's first piece of concept art, which features a samurai standing in a forest grove. The evocative image, in which the samurai is dwarfed by massive, gnarled trees, suggests that the new game will feature a greater scope than of Game Freak's projects to date. While Game Freak is popularly associated with Nintendo, it remains an independent studio that has produced games for various platforms over the years. They include Little Town Hero, Tembo the Badass Elephant, and Pocket Car Jockey, all of which have been released for platforms outside of the Nintendo Switch. Greg, me and you both loved Ghost of Tsushima. Does the idea of this new Game Freak ambitious samurai game do anything for you?
Yeah, of course. You know, I love seeing cool games, and this sounds cool, right? Or could be cool, right? What Private Division is doing is very interesting, right? They're trying to be like this, like, you know, indie/black label kind of thing, right? For 2K, they're doing different stuff over there, which I appreciate. You know, ambitious new action adventure. I love action adventure games. When people ask what my genre usually is, I talk about third person action adventure usually. What that'll turn into, who knows? What it's actually gonna shake out as, who knows? You know, Game Freak is the Pokemon studio. Yeah, I mean, we're watching the Badass Elephant here, right? And while that was happening, while you were reading, I went and opened up the Little Town Hero from review from IGN. Tom Marks gave it a 7. Little Town Hero's combat can frustrate at times, but the battle system behind it is still fun, or full of charm and creativity. Like, I don't know much about them. I've never been the Pokemon guy in terms of any of that stuff. So it's interesting. It's exciting. I'd like to see what it turns out to be. You?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still curious about it. It's so interesting seeing it come from Game Freak, and like you mentioned, right? Game Freak, we know for Pokemon, but they've done other things. Tembo, Little Town Hero, which I remember when that was announced, I was excited for it, mainly for the reason of, oh man, they have Toby Fox working on the soundtrack for it. I really want to check this thing out. And then I booted it up, and I was like, all right, no, this is my thing, and I moved on.
No, I'm changed my mind. This sucks.
But I know a lot of people that like Pocket Card Jockey, and yeah, Game Freak is such a weird, different kind of studio. But then you look at Private Division, and Private Division also, as a publisher, they're kind of a unique publisher, right? Like, they're under Take-Two, but they publish games like what's the space game? Space Explorer, no, the Kerbal Space Program. Like, they publish Kerbal Space Program, and like, they look toward weird different Space Explorer. They look towards like weird different indie type stuff to publish. For sure. Them working with Game Freak on a AAA action samurai game sounds so out of both of their realms in terms of Private Division and in terms of Game Freak that I can only be excited to see what it is.
Well, it's fascinating when you look at the Private Division Wikipedia page, right? Because yeah, mm-hmm. It's Kerbal, it's Ancestors, it's the Outer Worlds, it's Disintegration, Hades, then Ollie Ollie World, Rollerdrome, After Us, Kerbal Space Program 2, but then the TBA section, right, is Untitled Middle Earth Game, then Project Bloom, which just got announced, right? Untitled Middle Earth Game from Weta Workshop. Untitled action platformer from Evening Star. Untitled action role-playing game from Moon Studios. Untitled narrative adventure game from Daigoukt Fabric. Untitled survival horror game from Bloober Team. Unannounced title from League of Geeks. Unannounced title from Yellow Brick Games. And so it's like they have so much in the pipe, right, that it's almost more than what they've actually put out so far.
Yeah, and it makes me wonder what is their vision? What is their scope for what they want Private Division to be and where they want it to go? Because one thing we talk about a bit when it comes to these publishers or publishing labels that do go after a lot of indie projects is the identity that they create and how that turns them into something. Like, we look at Devolver Digital and we know what a Devolver Digital game is, and I get excited about the idea of Devolver Digital games. We look at Annapurna, we know what an Annapurna game is, right? And that's going to speak to a certain kind of audience.
Right.
What is Private Division doing? Because when I look at, when you mentioned the portfolio that they have put out, there's not really like a common factor aside from they have an eye for, okay, this is going to be a good game, right? Like, they got an eye for quality. I think they have an eye for developers. Are they trying to scope upward? Are they trying to go for more of the AAA things? Because you mentioned Yellow Brick Games, and I believe that is I believe that has like writers and lead devs that worked on bigger RPGs. kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. I think that might be like a BioWare folks that work at Yellow Brick. Gotcha. But like, what does that look like? Does Private Division view themselves as a more of an indie publisher, or are they trying to grow into more of a AAA publisher? Because they are under Take-Two, right? And so like, what do they probably want from them as well? All that said, right, like, I'm totally down for another samurai game. I'm down for a good samurai game. Game Freak, as a developer, it's fun looking at them and knowing that, like, you know, again, they're known for Pokemon. The last Pokemon I know has a lot of issues in terms of how it runs technically, right? And, like, you know, the frame rate and the bugs and all that stuff. One thing that I really did appreciate about Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, though, is the open world and how they went about creating your own journey in that open world, finding different points of interest, finding the systems to really elevate and push Pokemon further. I really enjoyed the changes they made to the Pokemon franchise in that game. And if they're able to bring a level of that creativity into, let's say, an open world action samurai game, or even a linear action samurai game,
sure,
I could be down to see what they do with that. But also, it's fun seeing like this type of thing from a studio that we've not seen this kind of thing from. It brings me back to the Phil Spencer interview where Phil talked about, you know, just because a developer is known for something doesn't mean that that's the only thing that they're allowed to do, right? Or that they can do.
For sure.
So I'm excited for this.
Two quick things for you. I'm going to read from November 23rd, 2020's press release. Four major video game developers, including Mike Laidlaw, the former creative director of Dragon Age series, today announced the creation of Yellow Brick Games, an independent studio dedicated to making original new games of high quality. The team, which will be based in Quebec City, will be assuming its first major project that promises to further cement the region's leading role in global entertainment scene. It then lists three very Quebecois names that I won't butcher, who made their marks leading studios such as Ubisoft, Electronic Arts, and BioWare, where they contributed to the internationally recognized franchises like Dragon Age, Mass Effect, Watch Dogs, and Assassin's Creed. Also, you're wrong on myself, running fast and loose there. Private Division is a label of Take-Two. I said 2K, but 2K is another label, just like Rockstar is to Take-Two in the triangle, you know, succession like loadout here.
Yeah.
Succession.
Do you what? So between this game, right? Uh-huh. Project Bloom, Ghost Project of Tsushima, and Assassin's Creed Red.
Oh, don't do that to me.
Do we see these, I guess, like pose threats to one another? Do we see like maybe some samurai games fall under as certain ones, rise to prominence? I know Ghost of Tsushima right now isn't a good place because we've already played it, and like hopefully they're working on a sequel, right? And like people already know what that is. That's a known quantity. Do you think these games pose a threat to each other?
Yes and no. I would honestly say no, because I feel like they're going to be different. Even all we have for Assassin's Creed Red, really, right, is that image, right, of the assassin in feudal Japan, right, up there with the samurai sword and the hidden blade. And for me, like, that already speaks volumes to how that game's going to look and play in a way that Ghost of Tsushima doesn't. Like, you know, Jin Sakai doesn't move the same way as an assassin in Assassin's Creed does. So, I mean, sometimes in the battling and, like, you know, if you wanted to go more ghost, sure. But I mean, like, in terms of scaling the thing, synchronizing the point, jumping off, chasing the floating feather and or music sheet or whatever that, you know what I mean? Like, Assassin's Creed games are so large and sprawling that even though Ghost was an open world RPG or action RPG, I don't think they're going to feel so similar that I'd be burned out from one to the other. Plus, I think it's also, you know, when are we going to get all these games is the other big question. You bring in this one of what we're going to get from Game Freak. Who knows when you see this and what it actually looks like, what it actually plays like. But I think, if anything, hopefully you have this thing where you're playing them and you're like, oh, I like it. I like this game for this reason. I like that it does this that Ghost doesn't. I like that it does this that Assassin's Creed doesn't. There's some reason in separation from them. I doubt they'll all be very, like, so similar that you're like, oh, well, I've already played this.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think there's a lot of room for these types of games, especially because, you know, when you're talking about gameplay specifically, right? Like, there's so many games where you just play as a dude with a sword, and I fucking love those games. Like, that, like, if I was able to distill that into a genre, that might be one of my favorite genre of video games.
Dude,
like,
with a sword, that's all
dude
you
with
be.
A sword that slashes. Like, I love that kind of video game, and people in chat are bringing up Rise of the Ronin as well, and I look at that, and I'm like, yeah, I'm excited for what Rise of the Ronin is going to be. I'm very excited for whatever they figure out with Ghost of Tsushima 2. I'm excited to see what Project Bloom is, right? It's hard to be excited for the game when you haven't seen it, but I'm excited to see what Game Freak comes up with Private Division. And even for Assassin's Creed, I'm not typically an Assassin's Creed person. Project Red is one that I want to play. I want to check that out because that does appeal to me, being in that region, being in that time period, playing as a samurai and going through and doing that type of story does appeal to me. So I think there is a lot of space for that game to come out and thrive. I think as long as genre-wise they don't feel like I'm playing the same thing. I think one that I might worry the most about in terms of being similar would be Assassin's Creed to Ghost of Tsushima, but I think because this would be Ghost 2 and Assassin's Creed is already Assassin's Creed, they both already have enough of a built-in audience for each that people are going to play them regardless. I don't think either of them get lost in the shuffle even if they release next to each other.
For sure.
Story number three, EA CEO is indifferent on Microsoft's Activision deal, claims EA will still be the number one Xbox publisher. This is Chris Scullion at VGC. Electronic Arts CEO has said the company is indifferent as to whether Microsoft's proposed acquisition of Activision Blizzard is successful. In a Q&A following the company's latest earnings call on Tuesday, Andrew Wilson was asked what he thinks the implications of the deal are for the video games industry and for future consolidation. Quote, "This is a question I get asked a lot. I almost am never allowed to answer that question, as it turns out," the exec replied. He continued, "What I would say is, I don't know what's going to happen with Activision and Microsoft. Again, we continue to be Microsoft's biggest partner. I think we're the number one publisher on their platform. So whether that deal goes through or not is not really material to us broadly. We think that we have the scale with our network, our IP, and our talent to continue to navigate the future and lead the future of entertainment and compete in a marketplace regardless of whether that deal goes through or not," end quote. Wilson also suggested that further industry mergers are inevitable and that he wants EA to be in a good position should it ever be involved in one. Quote, "Longer term, you know, will there be industry consolidation? Will there be broader entertainment consolidation? If I was predicting the future over the long term, I would say that's an almost certainty at some level," he explained. I would love for us to have the scale to be a meaningful consolidator in that space. I think that we have a tremendous, I think we have tremendous assets with respect to the future of entertainment. But as it stands today, I think we're indifferent as to whether Microsoft's acquisition of Activision Blizzard goes through or not. We feel like we have an incredible strategy. We feel we have an incredible opportunity. And whether it goes through or not, we will continue to be the number one publisher on the Microsoft platform. Greg, do you see EA as the number one publisher on the Microsoft platform?
Oh, I mean, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, what you got your Madden, you got your golf, FIFA. You got your FIFAs. I mean, it's one of those annoying ones where it's like you start adding up these gigantic franchises that are global phenomenons that actually do move units and consoles just for people to play them. You're like, you know what? Arguably, you might be. I guess I don't. You know what
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I
it's mean, between that and Activision,
it's like, what are we gonna? What are you going? You start adding on shit. Fuck. Okay. Cool. Like we always jump to. Well, we love Dead Space and we love this other, you know, Haze Light, whatever they're putting out. But it's like to EA, for so many people, it's still EA Sports. It's in the game, yeah. Right? And that's what it is. And that's what's moving those units. And they're going to go do that thing. It's more interesting, I think, to, well, first off, it's interesting, of course, that Wilson's like, I'm usually not allowed to talk about this. So here's a bunch of talk that's not really talk. That's just me talking. You know, like, what are you even saying right now? What are you fucking about? Longer term, will there be industry? Well, yeah, okay. What? Like, do you want to do it? Oh, we would love to be a more, have a meaningful consolidator in that space. I think it would be a tremendous asset. Oh, yeah, my like, God.
What does that mean? Say
for
something.
For me, it's an interesting, in all the conversations we've had about Activision Blizzard and Xbox, I don't know if I've sat there and really thought about the fact of, in a lot of ways, it's good for EA to get Activision Blizzard bought up, right? Where it is like, okay, cool. Like, we are like one of the, not one of the last, but we are definitely inarguably the biggest independent, right? Like, if you wanted to go that way, like, and how they feel and how they talk about each other. Obviously, you toss out 2K. Obviously, you're going to toss out, or I guess Take Two overall, but you're going to toss out Embracer Group and their 9,000 studios. But it is that thing to see Activision like snapped off the board. And you think about the battles EA has had with Activision, right? When you talk about, you know, Call of Duty versus Battlefield and back and forth on stuff like that. Like, it's interesting, I'm sure, inside of their office to be like, oh man, like, if they got wiped off the board, it's one less person for us to, or one less company for us to worry about competing with when it comes to what we're trying to do, or like, you know, getting IP. We talk all the time about, you know, Marvel games being out there, but Star Wars, et cetera, so on. If they're going to get snapped up, they're going to get taken off the board. They're going to become just an Xbox, you know, studio, or, you know, Microsoft first party.
Like third party partnerships, right? Like, I think if you're talking to Xbox, or if you're talking to PlayStation about ways in which you can collaborate, right, or strike deals and all that stuff, it might, you might have other equivalent third-party publishers or third-party partners taking up that space as well, right? Like, if you both, you and Activision, are talking to Xbox and you're talking about the same kind of things, then it is like they might just be taking space up in the conversation. Whereas if Activision is literally Xbox, cool, now we're operating as like the biggest third-party partner to Xbox and probably PlayStation as well. And we get to actually have more of a clear say and more of a, I guess, just clear comms in terms of the back and forth between these guys and not having to compete with an Activision or compete with a bigger Square Enix and all these guys.
For sure.
Yeah. I think this is interesting. Him talking about, I know it's a lot of him saying nothing, but
just hearing words and air escape his mouth.
Yeah, like him being like, oh, I'll talk about this and not talk about this, but him talking about the industry mergers and like longer term, you know, will there be industry consolidation? Will there be entertainment consolidation? Like, you know, he says certainly at some level, right? And like him talking about how they would like to be of the skill to be a meaningful consolidator in that space. Again, I don't know what the fuck that means in that context, but it sounds like
what the fuck this means.
It sounds like, you know, like EA is very aware about the idea of being acquired or wanting to acquire somebody, right? And like,
yeah,
I a lot of times when it comes to these conversations, it feels like there is this, no, we want to stay independent. Like, no, we want to make our own thing. No, we want to chart our own course. Like, we want to be in charge of our own company. They're not, at the very least, giving that. Maybe they can't give that because they're so big of a publisher and so big of a company. Yeah. But them, at the very least, being like, yeah, we want to be a part of these consolidations, right? Like, if these keep happening.
You guys remember us? It's EA. We love to be a part of this.
We want to be positioned in a way where people might look at us and go, hey, let's acquire EA, or vice versa. Us as EA have the assets to go, actually, no, let's acquire the smaller developer and make them part of us. I think that's interesting, at the very least, that they're able to talk about it in that way.
For sure.
Greg, I want to talk to you about patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can go and get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
Shout out to Shady Rays for sponsoring this episode. Do you want to look as cool as I look? Yes, you do, and you can. You can take on the sun with gear built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered for the warm weather ahead with premium polarized shades at an unbeatable price. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that offers a world-class product that's just as good as any expensive pair that I've ever worn in my life. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. You can wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after you purchase. Exclusively for you listeners, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. You can go to shadyrays.com and use the code KINDOFFUNNY. You can get 50% off two plus pairs of polarized sunglasses. You can try for yourself the shades that are rated 5 stars by over 250,000 people. Promo code KINDOFFUNNY at shadyrays.com.
Zelda 1, you know, that's why.
Oh man, no, not a one. Oh, and we're back with number 4. We've talked about delays, we've talked about big publishers. Let's talk about a delay at a big publisher with story number 4. Assassin's Creed Mirage has reportedly been delayed. This is from Nathan Birch at WCCF Tech. Those eager to get their hands on Ubisoft's latest Assassin's Creed games may be waiting a little while longer than expected, but you don't necessarily need to erase the game from your 2023 calendar just yet. Earlier this month, a GameStop leak indicated that Assassin's Creed Mirage was coming our way in August, which lined up with a rumor from proven Ubisoft insider Tom Henderson last year. Well, Henderson has stepped into the fray again, tweeting that Assassin's Creed Mirage will no longer be arriving in August, but rather in October of this year. Ubisoft's AC VR project, codenamed Nexus, has also been reportedly pushed back. Quote, "It seems like Assassin's Creed Mirage has been internally delayed from August to October. Nexus, AC's VR offering, has also been delayed a couple of months," end quote. This is one of those interesting ones because, like, delay is such an interesting word because the game was never announced with an official date. And so, like, internal delay, sure, but yeah, like being pushed back internally a couple months to October, that seems fine.
As usual, take your time, delay your games, make them good. You know what I mean? Like, Mirage is an interesting one that has not a lot of juice behind it, but it has interest, I think, from a lot of lapsed Assassin's Creed fans, right? Where they've talked about it being a smaller experience. It's not the giant open world sprawling thing. It's more in line with what a classic Assassin's Creed was, and I know that a lot of people have had their interest piqued by that. So again, you know, make it right, get out there and do it and see what it's all about. Of course, you know, this year is just littered with amazing games at every turn, right? So August, I think, would have been a better time for this if you could have gotten it out then, right? Like, it's that summer, coming to the end of the summer, so there's not as much happening because you'll be, you know, on the other side of everything that's happening right now with Zelda, about to be Diablo, right? We're going to be there hopefully before Spider-Man in September, if Venom is correct with his tweets. And then, of course, the holiday rushes upon you after that of what's going to be happening with every other giant third party. I think, you know, you would have had a better time getting an audience in August, but Assassin's Creed is still Assassin's Creed. And if they're able to nail this and actually make this a throwback to Assassin's Creed some people have missed, because even me, who loves the giant sprawling open world Assassin's Creed, the fact that they're like, oh, this is a smaller one, that still excites me. I still like the moment-to-moment gameplay of an Assassin's Creed, so I'm still interested in this, want to play it.
Yeah, this calendar, in terms of what the fall looks like, I think this is dangerous all around, because I think in early August I could have seen this game coming out, but and being fine with, but even once you start to slip into even late August, it gets dangerous, because there you get Armored Core, like, that is announced now for the end of August, and then Lies of P is slated for the August window, and so we don't even know when that's coming out. But then, yeah, like, once you slip further than that, I feel like this fall is just deadly. You know, September, possibly Starfield and Spider-Man, and then what else is gonna get announced?
Like, I like how you said possibly Starfield first. You know what I mean? Where it's like, that's the one that, like, we're just like, so we'll believe it. See it.
Yeah, no, it has to be my hand. I got to
say my goddamn hands. I'll believe it.
But yeah, like, that's the thing, and I think that's when we come back to the idea of delays, right? Like, even for Spider-Man, because it's not been announced yet, I'm open to the idea that it comes out in October. In fact, I'm hoping it comes out in October, because I want all the time with Starfield at this point. Like, that is an open world Bethesda-ass RPG. Give me a month with that thing. Give me all the time that I can spend just hanging out in the world and really, like, playing through that thing before I'm able to shift all my gears to Spider-Man. I know that's weird and doesn't apply to the whole audience, because that is an Xbox exclusive versus a PlayStation exclusive. But for the folks that are in both ecosystems, or for folks that just want to, like, you know, or for the bandwidth of even media coverage and all that stuff, you know, I think having a better spread of, hey, let's not group everything together in the same place would probably be better, because I'm looking at August into September and I'm sweating. I'm like, dude, I'm gonna play
this year, dude. This year,
Liza P into Armored Core into Starfield into Spider-Man back to back to back to back. I don't know if I have it in me, dude. Like, that sounds crazy. That's death by snoo snoo. Like, I don't know if I got it, dude. I don't know if I got the energy for it.
You got the stuff. You're gonna make it, Bless. You could do this. You can play these games.
I hope so. It sounds like such a good time, though. You know, like, such good games coming out this year. I'm very excited. Speaking of good games, story number 5, PS Plus Extra's May and April lineups have been revealed. For PS Plus Extra, you're getting Ratchet
Extra,
and Clank
Extra.
Rift Apart. You're getting Humanity, Watch Dogs Legion.
That's a day and date, baby.
It's a day and date.
Let's go.
Are you excited for Humanity?
No. It's that thing where it's, I do love Enhance, that developer, obviously. Tetris Effect, you know what I mean? You can toss in Res, you can toss in Luminous, even though, you know, blah, blah, blah. So, like, the pedigree makes me excited, but watching it, I'm just like, oh, I don't get it. Like, I need to sit down and play it. And I know I've had preview opportunities. I know they were on our GDC stream, but even watching it, I'm still like, I don't know if I'm going to vibe with this, if I'm going to want to play this and get stuck and try to figure out the puzzles. But I'm still going to try. But it's the problem is we're talking about, like, how crazy this fucking year is. I'm just like, I'm going to try it eventually. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's just not at the top of my pile that I need to get to right
but
now.
But, Greg, there's a dog.
I know, but he's not a wiener dog.
He's a dog. He's so cute.
He's a little Shiba.
Yeah, I know. Not a wiener dog, is he? A
little gold Shiba. Yeah, I've not picked up my PSVR 2 in a minute. Shocker. And so,
oh, well, it's funny. Yeah, you say that. I mean, I'm not going to play it in PlayStation VR. you know what I mean? No. You can play it as a normal person. I'm going to play it as a normal person.
No, I'm picking it. I'm picking this up in VR with the hopes that it gives me the Tetris Effect or Res Infinite kind of feel.
See, the problem is when I look at it, it reminds me so much of, or I should say it reminds me, because obviously you look at it like, oh, it looks a lot like Last Guy, which I love, obviously. But it also, for some reason, gives me Echo Chrome vibes, in that I didn't like Echo Chrome. Like, Echo Chrome was like, made me feel dumb, and I didn't, you know, I was like, I don't like these kind of puzzles.
Yeah. Yeah, I think because of the PSVR 2 review, and during that review, I picked up Tetris Effect again, and I picked up Res Infinite for the first time. I'm in that mood for another game from this same developer, and I'm hoping that it hits on that level, and I'm hoping that it gives me a reason to actually want to be in VR for longer. But yeah, if I pick up the first hour and I'm like, I can just play this as a regular game, I can see myself doing that too. But I got my fingers crossed that it gives me that reason to actually want to hang out my PSVR 2 more, because I'm not playing that thing enough.
Tetris Effect in VR though, fucking religious experience, you know.
Oh, Tetris Effect. Oh yeah. I get excited. A few weeks ago, I showed a friend Tetris Effect for the first time, because she was playing Tetris because she had just watched the Tetris movie. And I was like, hey, dude, you should check out, have you heard of Tetris Effect? And she was like, no. And she was playing Tetris on her phone. And we were at our friend Meg's place. And I was like, all right, Lexi, like, turn off your phone. I'm going to boot up Meg's PS5. I am downloading Tetris on my account. And like, I'm watching you play Tetris right here. And it was such a great experience. But I did regret not having my VR with me, because that would
travel with
that.
It's not in your car at all times.
No. Sadly, I don't keep it around in a backpack wherever I go. But I told her, I was like, dude, we're going to find a way for you to play this game in VR. Like, I'm going to have you borrow my Oculus VR thing if I need to. We're going to make this happen.
I remember, I just remember, yeah, like playing that at like Dornbush's desk at IGN. And that was where him and I came together after playing that in VR. We're like, we got to get this nominated for every category for IGN. We're like, we're in the conversations at the end of the year, and we're like, all right, next category we should probably talk about, best story. And Dorno and I would raise our hand and be like, Tetris Effect.
Bastards.
such a good game. Have you guys seen the Tetris movie?
No, I want to, though.
It's really good. It's like kind of ridiculous, but also it's like a really good watch, because it's just all business talk. Like, I think this crew specifically would enjoy that movie a lot.
I saw,
because it's just the new stories we read.
As I often do, I saw clips of it on TikTok. That's where I'm usually watching most of my films these days, is in broken up TikTok format, of like when they revealed to him the prototype of the Game Boy, and they're like, only 10 people in the world have seen this. And I was like, damn, this does look good, but I have not made it yet. It's on Hulu. Where is it? I don't even know.
It's on Apple TV Plus.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So if you're watching Ted Lasso, you can take a break and watch Tetris. More for PS Plus Extra in May. You got Watch Dogs Legion, Dishonored 2, plus Death of the Outsider,
Woo!
Sukuna, Tomb Raider Definitive Edition, Rise of the Tomb Raider, Shadow of the Tomb Raider, Bus Simulator 21, Evil Within 2, Wolfenstein Youngblood, Thymesia, Rain World, Lake, Conan Exiles, Rune Factory 4, Story of Seasons, Friends of Mineral Town, and then Soundfall. And then for PS Plus Premium, you got Siphon Filter, Logan Shadow.
Siphon Filter.
I don't want to be Gabe Logan Shadow. Blade Dancer, Lineage of Light, Pursuit Force, and then Ghostbusters, the video game remastered. Check that one out, Greg.
No, I have it on multiple platforms. I'm fine.
Do you still have Premium?
No.
Same.
Why would I keep Premium?
It's unfortunate. We host a PlayStation podcast.
But that's the problem, is that you look at this thing and it's just like, well, I reviewed Siphon Filters, Logan, or did I? Did I do Logan Shadow? I can't remember. I reviewed the PSP Siphon Filters. Like, I've lived these. I reviewed Ghostbusters. Like, I don't need to. This is great to fill in gaps. I don't feel like I have those gaps necessarily.
I feel you.
If they were putting Metal Gears on there, you know what I mean? I'll be all about it.
That's the thing, is if they put all the Metal Gear games, I could see myself going back up to Premium. But right now, I don't feel like paying extra money for Premium to play Pursuit Force.
And it's that thing of, like, you know, comforting that it's there, but I would never play those. You know what I mean? In the same breath of why I don't feel like I'm going to jump into Humanity anytime soon, is why I wouldn't jump into some classic games.
Remember when Metal Gear Solid,
three unreleased AAA possible game of the year, is like upon me? I'm like, I got things going on.
Lego 2K Drive does come out, I think, next week.
Yeah, next week. We're close, man.
It's true.
We're there.
It's going to shake
the
world.
The big game of May is almost here.
Bless, remember when Metal Gear Solid 4 was on PlayStation Plus before it was PlayStation Plus Plus, or whatever the fuck we call it now?
I do. And then
that's how we streamed it. That was like the one way we were able to play the game.
And today on PS5, you cannot play Metal Gear Solid 4.
That's wild, man.
They're going to give it back to us one of these months.
One of these days, they better give it back, yeah.
Hopefully, it's at the end of the month at the PlayStation Showcase when they announce that Metal Gear Solid 3 is being remade.
And then like a cherry on top, kind of like my Persona prediction, I think, from last year, where I was predicting like the entire Persona franchise on PlayStation Plus. Instead, yeah, Metal Gear Solid 3 remake. And then also all of the entire series is ready for you to play on PlayStation Plus Premium.
Yeah. And then also on Xbox Game Pass. And even on the Switch, I can play Metal Gear Solid 4 on the Switch, finally.
I don't know if they'll announce that at the Sony thing, but yeah.
Make it happen. Hope we did it dream. With Persona. We can make it happen with Metal Gear. Story number 6, our final news story. This mouse game looks insane. This was making the rounds yesterday, and it became a whole viral thing. Barrett has the gameplay up if you're a video watcher. I'm going to read a bit from Morgan Park at PC Gamer, who wrote an article on it, titled, "Walt Disney Rolls Over in His Grave as I Wishlist This M-Rated Mickey Mouse FPS." The article reads like this. Just in time for Steamboat Willie's upcoming induction into public domain is a new indie FPS inspired by 30s-era Disney animation called Mouse. Developed by Polish studio Fumi Games, you might have caught a first glimpse at Mouse on TikTok, where short clips of early gameplay have earned millions of views since late April. It's easy to see why. Mouse's art and animations are immediately striking in the same way that Cuphead dazzled us with his meticulous hand-drawn look years ago. Except, where Cuphead largely stayed within the bounds of his family-friendly source material, I don't know if I'd say Cuphead is... Actually, I guess it is family friendly. I don't know. Mouse dives headfirst into
hard-boiled. They made a kids show on Netflix for it.
Yeah, but I guess it's just I view Cuphead as violent and like gritty, but I guess not. Like the devil's in it, and that might be the most
the devil.
Satan, biblically accurate Satan, is in it. hard-boiled noir darkness and 90s FPS gore. Seeing the Disney vintage look applied to machine guns and exploding headshots feels a little wrong, but also very right. I'm all about it.
It looks awesome.
Stuff like this.
It looks super awesome, yeah.
Yeah, like if you open up the Steam page, the Steam description describes it as a joint private detective John Mouston in Mouse, a gritty jazz-fueled shooter with guns blazing and a retro rubber hose animation style. Battle your way through a corrupt city full of crooks and danger, and then yeah, inspired by FPS's yada yada yada. And yeah, the art style looks dope. It reminds me of something like Cuphead. This time around though, it's like more black and white and seems more akin to even an older animation style than Cuphead. I'm not an animation expert, so I don't know if that's accurate, but that's what I would assume.
Yeah,
just based on how this
I feel
looks.
Like
more
Steamboat
Willie vibes. Yeah. Yeah,
came before the Cuphead animation.
So yeah, looks cool.
Yeah, it was like loosely based off of that same era, maybe a little bit later. I think it's like, yeah, the big differentiator is the color added to Cuphead. But there is a black and white mode that you can unlock in Cuphead that I think evokes more of the Steamboat Willie era, but yeah, it's all very close.
Now, before we move on, we do have breaking news. Barrett, if you're able to bring this up from the doc, it was added to the doc. This is tweeted out by at Mortal Kombat.
Oh, shit.
Mortal Kombat!
They tweeted out, it is almost time, with a little video here. That I don't know if we're able to get sound, Barrett. Are we able to get sound?
Yeah, hold on. Give me a second here, so we'll go. Right.
Barrett's going to take his time. I'm vibrating days. With excitement, Greg.
Classic days.
Do you want me to explain to you what this thing is before you see it?
I don't know. I want a live react.
Okay.
Yeah, hold on. So you should be able to see it full screen now, and in theory, also I should probably take a time code here. Sorry, this is throwing me in for a loop here, bless.
No, that's all. It's Barrett, all throwing me for
great.
A loop, too. I didn't
expect You're doing
this.
Great, Barrett.
I'm so excited.
Tell me I'm doing this shit, Greg. Just tell me.
This better be a video game thing and not a fucking movie thing. They're starting off with a clock, which tells me it's probably more video game because I think they're going to rewind it.
It looks like a live action clock, you know? It looks like a live action clock. Who knows?
Fuck, you're right.
And it's only 17 seconds.
Mortal Kombat does say it is almost time. Time is a current theme in Mortal Kombat.
That's true.
In the recent games.
You ready?
I'm so ready.
Nine.
It's a clock. Counting upwards.
10.
11. Oh, shit. Because we're counting to 12.
Back to 11. Go. And it skips 12 and goes to 1.
They're rebooting.
Yeah, this has been the rumor, right? That with all the timeline stuff they've been toying with. And if you look here, it looks like what? We have galaxies in the reflection here. Maybe the stars as we're going through around the clock.
And again, that makes sense with how the previous Mortal Kombat game ended, right? Like, it pretty much ends with, and it's been a few years, so I'm sorry if this is a bit blurry, but like, it's like, basically they're reworking time, right? Like, they take over from the gods as like the gods of time, and they're like reorganizing everything. But like, yeah, no, it looks like they're going back to 1. I wonder if that means that the next Mortal Kombat game is going to be called
Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat, which would be the second time now that they, or the third time, I guess, that they've done this, because Mortal Kombat back in like 09 or 010 or whatever is called Mortal Kombat. I'm all about it though. I'm all about it. This is going to be a Summer Game Fest thing.
You think? Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
it does. Or
PlayStation event.
PlayStation later this month.
I count that as Summer Game Fest. But yeah, I would my prediction would be PlayStation. Because PlayStation's been getting like all the dibs and all the fighting announcements. Like, in the last two State of Plays, we got Street Fighter 6 announced, and then we also got the new Tekken game announced. And so, yeah, I would think Mortal Kombat would be the final, like, oh yeah, we got the Infinity Stones of fighting games. I'm very excited to see what this actually looks like. I hope we still get like fresh new characters. I love all the classic Mortal Kombat characters, but we've had so many Mortal Kombat games that very much are aiming for, hey, yeah, let's bring back all the old favorites. I want some of the old favorites. I want the Scorpions of the world. I want the Sub-Zeros of the world.
You want to see your old pals, Scorpion.
I want to see my old pals, but, like, give me some freshness. Give me some, like, different characters. I like it when they add new characters, but I want, like, I also want, like, the Takeda Takahashis. That was a character from Mortal Kombat 10. And, like, they didn't have that character come back in 11, and it broke my heart. So, like, let me see a character like that, and then, yeah, like, give me some fresh characters. That's what I want. Greg, I'm excited to see what they finally reveal with the new Mortal Kombat game. But
you and me both.
The reveal of it is just so far away. If I want to know what's coming to Mom and Grab shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah.
Out today, we got The Lord of the Rings, Heroes of Middle-Earth for iOS and
Android. Damn, I thought you were about to say Gollum.
No. When does that come out? One of these days, I'm going to read Gollum.
Roger was asking me about this yesterday, and it concerned me that he's looking. Of course, he's the one looking forward to Gollum.
I feel like it's imminent. I feel like that's coming out.
It's May. It's May.
Really?
It's going to be May.
I keep reading Lord of the Rings games that aren't Gollum. Where is Gollum, goddammit?
It's coming this week. It's happening.
Is May it this 25th. Week? Is it next week?
May 25th.
Wow. The day of the PlayStation Showcase, possibly?
They call it the killer. They call it
the first
showcase
thing
killer.
In the showcase, Jim Ryan walks out and they're like, finally, it's out today.
Hey, everybody, if you turn on your PlayStation 5s right now, you'll find Gollum is already pre-installed.
Oh, no. Who did that?
Oh, God, no.
Who did that for iPhone, like, years
was it
back?
The Beatles
or
somebody?
U2.
U2, yeah.
God. We got Occupy Mars, the game in early access. That's out in PC. Gunsmith Simulator Prologue for PC. Mathland for PC, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. And then a Plague Tale Requiem performance mode update with 60 FPS is out now for PS5 Amicia, and Xbox Amicia. Series X. And then new date for you. Rightfully Bury Arms, Claws onto PC.
Oh, my God. Yes. I know. I don't even know what it is, but I'll tell you right now. Bury Arms, Claws. Ah, Lord almighty.
You got to know what this is. That claws its way onto PC via Steam Early Access on July 27th. Shit, Barrett has brought up good. Rightfully Bury Arms. And yeah, I'm not going to lie. This actually looks kind of tight.
Shit, fuck, hold on now, everybody.
It's a like top-down, shoot-em-up, roguelite style game. Oh man, this actually looks really good.
Amicia.
It has like a Amicia. Cool dash ability that reminds me of like the Ratchet and Clank dash from Rift Apart, where he kind of like leaves fucking like clones of himself behind.
That's Amicia, a bad way to describe I want to play Rightfully Bury Arms.
Oh, see, in my head, like the reason why that effect is happening when you dash is because he's going so fast that your like eyes can only process like that weird effect that he does in Ratchet and Clank.
See, I like the idea that every time he does the dash, it's not the same Ratchet anymore.
Oh, it's like the whole Star Trek theory where it's like anytime they like get beamed up, it's not them, and they're just cloning versions of themselves and killing off the old versions.
It's like that Rick and Morty episode.
Yeah.
Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong, where you write in, let us know what we got wrong, as we got it wrong, so we can correct it for those watching later on YouTube and listening later on podcast services around the globe. Oh, God. I'm getting locked out. Okay, Mom, I'm back. Bander SN says, Greg did not review Siphon Filter, Loken and Shadow. Jeff Haynes did and gave it a 9.5.
Thank you.
9.5. Maybe so Andy does want to be Gabe Logan.
I did the other one then. What is it? The final one on PSP. Can't remember the name of it. Loken Shadow, and then it was Siphon Filter. It was good. I enjoyed it.
Listen, you're asking the wrong guy, all right?
Dark Mirror? Combat Ops?
Blacklist. Conviction. Chaos Theory.
Dark Mirror came before Loken Shadow. Did I not review Loken Shadow? Did I just play it and like it a lot? Is that possible? I did interviews about it for sure. Huh, interesting.
There you go. Tomorrow's hosts for Kind of Funny Games Daily are going to be Tim and me. Remember, we're trying something new here.
Why'd you say it like that? You sound...
it's weird hosting the show from home, so I'm like trying to like, I'm like looking at the doc, and the doc just looks different. I don't know what it is about the doc today. It just looks different. Remember, we're trying something new with the YouTube Super Chats on Kind of Funny Games Daily. Only on YouTube and the live stream, there's going to be a 30-minute post-show where Snowack Mike comes in to talk to us KFGD hosts about your Super Chat questions, except, I don't know, is it Snow White Mike or is it Andy? Because I thought I saw Andy.
I reviewed Siphon Filter Combat Ops, everybody. Which I'll tell you right now, I don't remember a goddamn frame of. Right? I want you all to know I have no fucking idea what this game is.
What did you give it?
I gave it a 8.5.
Jesus.
Should you buy Siphon Filter Combat Ops? Yes, it's $10. And even if you only create 2 or 3 maps and play them online, the fun and frantic missions should cover the cost. The game's deep and easy to play, but my only worry is how long it'll be fun to keep playing. If the install base doesn't beef up, you might be left with a worthwhile tile only a few fans are using at prearranged times. It might be hard to just pop into a game when you're waiting in the doctor's office. Still, you should pick it up. It's a shining example of how online on the PSP, voice, votes, boards, and user content should work.
It's a pretty good review.
Thanks, buddy.
I enjoyed that read. Stay tuned.
That's why GQ wanted me to be one of their experts.
Exactly. He's big time GQ.
I'm sorry, Sam. I'm sorry.
Fuck GQ. I got bigger things to worry about. Again, you can stay tuned after today's handshake to hang out with us before the next Kind of Funny stream starts as we hang out with Andy and answer a bunch of your Super Chat questions. Remember, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily each and every weekday live right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. Until next time, Game Daily.